Hello, and welcome to the RIMS podcast series covering D&O topics. In this segment, we will be discussing a D&O policy endorsement for adding in-house lawyers to the D&O policy. My name is Jeff Fallon, and I was involved with developing the two-day D&O workshop. With me today is Priya Huskins.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm Priya Charian Huskins. I am a partner and senior vice president at Woodruff Sawyer. We are a full-service commercial insurance brokerage, and I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you. Let me set this up, if I can. In today's market, in-house counsel coverage, and what I'm talking about is coverage for legal malpractice claims against in-house counsel, be they officers or non-officers, may be added to the D&O policy at no cost. Priya, would you comment on whether or not that's a good idea?
First of all, when there's an opportunity to expand coverage on the D&O policy, very often we all want to rush to do that. There may be reasons to do it, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I first want to make the point that to the extent coverage is being expanded in this way, it's probably incumbent on the risk management personnel at the company to inform the officers and certainly to inform the directors. Every time you expand coverage, you potentially dilute limits.
Correct.
The other thing I would say about whether or not you want an endorsement for legal malpractice on your D&O insurance policy is just to consider a few things. The first is, don't automatically assume that you need this endorsement because otherwise the general counsel is uncovered. That's absolutely not the case, notwithstanding some of the fear-mongering articles that get written up from time to time. But number two, where are the opportunities for an insurance carrier to take the position that a general counsel's activities are not covered? What I always advise clients is, consider, is what you're doing looking more like being a general counsel of a company, so officer capacity kind of activities that are informed by your legal judgment? Or is what you're doing, does it look more like law firm work? So, for example, you're doing an investigation where privilege is very important, or you are writing opinion letters. To the extent that what you're doing as in-house counsel looks more like law firm work, that is potentially an opportunity for a carrier to exclude you.
Is it particularly a problem if one of the in-house counsel, be they an officer or not, is providing legal advice to third parties outside the corporation?
I think that's absolutely correct. And I worry about, let's say, for example, a franchisee for a master corporation, or just a rank-and-file employee coming in and asking a question, not realizing that the general counsel represents the corporation and not the individual.
I think there's a subtext here, and that is, for risk management personnel, be sure that you understand what it is that your legal department does and doesn't do, and to the extent it might help to have defined practices and procedures, particularly concerning advice to third parties. Now, if they don't choose to go for the endorsement to the D&O policy, what about standalone employed lawyers coverage?
Jeff, I always recommend that clients with concerns at least consider pricing employed lawyer coverage on a standalone basis. It's very difficult to talk about risk and its mitigation appropriately in the absence of understanding cost, and the cost can vary widely, particularly if the standalone policy is intended to cover securities work, that being more expensive. I will also share with you that in my experience, sometimes pricing the policy is a nice precursor to the general counsel getting an indemnification agreement with his or her employer. And the last thing I'll say is sometimes the right solution really is a standalone policy.
The standalone policy has a couple of benefits that the in-house endorsement does not. Number one, they provide coverage for claims that arise out of moonlighting, and also the standalone policy provides coverage for that rare but very serious incident when the corporation actually sues its attorney, the in-house counsel. In that case, the policy would cover defense costs. Priya, thank you very much. If you have any further questions, please visit the D&O section of the RIMS website and consider attending one of the two-day RIMS D&O workshops. Thank you.